dismissal of Sunday school kids first,
and then the scripture reading. And today's scripture reading is from Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals."
ヨハネの黙示録5章一節から5節。また私は御座に座っておられる方の右の手に巻物があるのを見た。それは内側にも外側にも文字が書き記され、七つの封印で封じられていた。また私は一人の強い御使いが大声で振り広めて、巻物を開いて封印を開くの、解くのにふさわしいものは誰かと言っているのを見た。しかし天にも地にも地の下にも誰一人その巻物を開くことができるものはなく、見ることのできるものもいなかった。巻物を開くのにも見るのにもふさわしいものが誰も見つからなかったので、私は激しく泣いていた。すると長老の一人が私に言った。泣いてはいけない。見なさい、ユダ族から出た獅子ダビデの根が勝利を得たので、その巻物を開いて7つの封印を解くことができます。
Good morning. How are you all doing? Wayne, you asked some hard questions. and I did not pay Wayne to say what he said. He just said that on his own. I'm just saying. But the Lord spoke through him, I guess. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Wayne. On a serious note, let's continue to pray for the Philippines. I guess they experienced one of the strongest typhoon they've ever recorded. I don't know if it's recorded in the Philippines or just recorded, period, but...
Strongest to hit land.
To hit land.
Almost 200 mile an hour.
So there's, I think, estimated 10,000 casualties at least, or 10,000. Yeah, so let's continue to pray for the people in the Philippines and... Yeah, let's ask God to help them in their real needs, and also for people to find Jesus, to find Jesus during this time. I'm sure hearts are opened during any kind of tragedies. Hearts are always open. So let's continue to pray for them. Today we're continuing our studies in the book of Revelation, and today we're reading Revelation chapter 5. Last week we talked about Revelation chapter 4, and chapter 4 was the throne room of heaven. To give you a little, to give you this chapter in context, it is the Apostle John, at the age of about 90 years old, he receives a revelation of heaven. And he's given a message to seven churches in the area of Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And after those seven letters, he is invited to heaven. And he has a throne room experience. And we saw last week what that was like. How God is light, how beautiful it is. And just, there's a lot of singing for some reason. A lot of singing. God could have showed him anything. And he shows him himself as light, and he shows a lot of singing. Which brings
us to the conclusion that, you know, worship is a lifestyle, but singing is a very important part of that lifestyle.
Amen.
Singing to the Lord. And that's why whenever we start worship, we start it with singing. And that's unto the Lord. And we will continue to do that throughout eternity. Now, I'm not saying all throughout eternity, that's all we're going to do. But that's a big part of what we'll do, I think. I think that'll be a really fun part of what we'll do. It's like going to the best concert you ever gone to, multiplied by a million. Who doesn't like going to a good concert?
Good vibe.
Yeah, no hands. Good. All right, everyone likes going to a good concert. And in the concert of heaven, you know, you think Lady Gaga or maybe Marilyn Manson created creatures and freaky things in a concert. Well, in heaven, there are real creatures. And it's not scary. It's awesome. It's awesome what God has in store for us. It's amazing. We see, though, as John, first he sees God, and then he sees elders. He sees cherubim. Was it seraphim? He sees seraphims, perhaps cherubims. Cherubim. Sorry, putting the S. I saw. So Marilyn pointed out to me the other day, as I was talking about angels, she said, "Aki, did you know that cherubim is the plural for cherub?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I have heard that somewhere before." And seraphim is the plural for seraphs. And so she said, "So don't put S's behind cherubims." And I was just putting S's behind them. But then I told Marilyn, I usually put S's behind things that, you know, you're not supposed to put S's behind. Like the Miami Heat. I always say the Heat. It's the Miami Heat, by the way. It's the book of Revelation, not Revelations. Anyways, whatever. Okay, just...
And I corrected you.
Yeah. I put S's where they're not supposed to be. John sees this picture of heaven. And after he sees this picture of heaven, he sees God the Father, and it says in his right hand there was a scroll. And so let's look at that. Verse 2 it says, "And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or look into it.'" I'm just reminded right now that maybe perhaps we should pray. So let's pray. Father, we do pray that you would give us greater revelations of you, of heaven, of this world, of ourselves, just greater revelations, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts that we may know, Lord, the hope to which we have been called to. And Father, we do just offer up a quick prayer to those affected in the Philippines. Lord, may your mighty angels go and minister to those who are hurting. And may your laborers be sent out to bring in the harvest. We pray for your grace and your mercy. We pray for aid. We pray for help, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I talked a little bit about angels. And in the hierarchy of angels, I mentioned there are archangels, cherubs. I think the order is archangels would be the first, seraphs would be the second, cherubs third, and then angels, normal angels fourth. I noticed, though, in the book of Revelation, twice they mention a strong angel. Here in chapter 5, verse 2. And then if you look at, if you have your Bibles, if you look at chapter 10, verse 1, if John says, "Then I saw another strong or mighty angel coming down from heaven." So twice, there's a mention of a strong angel or a mighty angel. And they're not the same one. He's saying, "I saw another one." So there's at least two very strong angels. And I think he puts in the adjective strong because he doesn't look like a normal angel. He looks, I guess, strong in some way, mighty in some way. And the description in chapter 10 of this strong angel is very close to the description of Jesus. So, it's a very majestic angel. I don't know where he would rank, where this angel would rank in the ranking of the angels. And I say he, because most angels, or all mention of angels, are either male or have male names. Not that there isn't female angels. It's just there's a lack of there's just a lack of evidence in the Bible of female angels. And then there's another angel mentioned in the book of Daniel and probably in the book of Enoch called seers. But that's all I'm going to say about angels today. Anyways, it says, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or look into it." Who is worthy? Now, I want to ask that question. Who is worthy? Worthy, another word for worthy is, who is deserving? Now, of course, you know, I'm going to say the typical things of who is worthy and who is deserving on this earth, like Kobe Bryant, of course. I love basketball. So, who is worthy, who is deserving? I've seen hours of footage of Kobe Bryant. Hours of footage of Shaquille O'Neal. He is, in some ways, for me, deserving of hours of my time. In some ways. One of my favorite actors, Denzel Washington. In the field of acting, he is worthy in some ways, right? Worthy amongst his peers, worthy amongst critics, worthy amongst just the mass of people. A lot of people would like to watch a Denzel Washington movie. Who is worthy? Maybe somebody like Steve Jobs passed away. But a great inventor, great at marketing, right? Worthy. People have just tons. I think one of his goals, or like the mission statement, is an apple on every desk. I think that was one of his mission statements or something like that. An apple on every desk. And, you know, I would guess maybe about 50% of the people here may have owned an apple. I'm sure 100% knows somebody who owns an Apple product. Talking about a computer. Okay, just in case. Who is worthy? If I was to go into the field of translation, maybe like Phil Gabriel would be worthy, right? Our very own Phil Gabriel. He translates a lot of Japanese novels into English and is really good at it. He's been asked by some of the great authors in Japan. So if I were to go in there, I would pick Phil's mind for hours and hours and hours. And we probably wouldn't get a lot of things done. but who is worthy? Let me ask you, in the field you enjoy, who is worthy of your time? C.S. Lewis. Worthy of your time. I used to, as a pastor, hours and hours of Dallas Willard. This guy named Dallas Willard. He's a philosopher, Christian speaker, author. He passed away, though. I used to listen to him for hours at a time. Now, anyone else in your field, you say, oh, yeah, I love this guy. Anyone else? You guys know? I like to listen to... Okay, all right, fine. I'll just go. Shh. Okay, well, sorry, go ahead.
Well, Sean and his dad, Pat, I just love the picture of Brandon about boxing.
Boxing, yeah. You know, hours of, I could still watch hours of old footage of Mike Tyson. He was just an animal back then. Anyways, who is worthy? There's a lot of people worthy in this world for hours of our time, right? Am I making things up? Okay, so let me ask you, are you worthy? Are you worthy? Are you deserving? Now, from an eternal perspective, it's a little different. From an eternal perspective. From an earthly perspective, to be worthy, you need to be excellent at your field. You need to be very good at your field, of what you do. And that's an absolutely good thing. Noble thing. But in heaven, to be worthy is a little different. A little different. Not that excellence isn't appreciated in heaven. But from an eternal perspective, a lot of times, from an eternal perspective, those that are worthy here may not be so worthy there. For example, although Jesus was excellent in all he did, in his teaching, in his healing, in his discipling, in his mentoring, in his leadership training, or whatever he did it very well, did he not? But on this side of earth, he was rejected by his peers, rejected by his critics. And it says, who is worthy? Of course, when the loud angel proclaimed with a loud when the mighty angel proclaimed with a loud voice, who is worthy? He found nobody worthy. And in Romans 3:23 it says, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Although we may be worthy in some fields, nobody was worthy to take the scroll out of God's hand. Now, what is that scroll? I believe that scroll is either the title deed to the earth, the action plan of the end times, or both, and probably a combination of many things. And only Jesus was found worthy. And I want to look at that a little bit. But let me just say this. In John 4:23, it says, the Father seeks worshipers who worship in spirit and truth. He is still seeking people who are worthy to worship him. In fact, in 2 Chronicles 16:19, he says he strengthened those, he looks to and fro and strengthened those who are fully committed to him. The Lord is looking to and fro. He is seeking worshipers. He is looking to and fro. And he's looking for people in every sphere of life to use for his glory. In every sphere of life. Whether you're an actor, whether you're a professor, whether you're an author, whether you're a pastor, whether you work in an office, in a cubicle, he is looking for somebody. Whether you're a housewife, whether you're retired, he is looking for somebody worthy to use, to bring his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And he still is. Are you worthy? If he's looking to and fro, and if he sees you, will he stop and say, this man, this woman is worthy? That should be our goal. Let me tell you, if he finds you worthy, he will strengthen you, and he will shower you with all that you need. Amen. And overflow. And you may be like, Pastor, what do you mean? What do you mean when you say worthy? What do you mean? Do I have to pray for 24 hours and read the Bible for 15 hours and sing songs for 13 hours? No, not necessarily. So when I say if God sees you, if you're worthy, that's not what I mean. A lot of times when we think religiously, that's what we think, right? I mean, that's how I thought. I thought, okay, if God is looking for someone worthy, then I just have to pray all the time, read the Bible all the time, and do something for the Lord all the time. And that's not a bad thing, but that may not be correct. What is the most important thing, though, that he's looking for? And that's the first commandment, the greatest commandment. And it must be first and greatest in our lives. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, strength, and soul. And you could do that whether you're eating, whether you're watching TV, whether you're gardening, whether you're knitting, sewing, sleeping. And unless you're scratching your wife's head, that's not being loving. If you see my wife and she has a big scratch on her head, that's my dad, I guess. But you could do that. You could love the Lord your God with all your heart. I'm going to go out on a limb and say playing basketball. Imagine that. When Jeremy Lin crosses over and shoots a three-pointer and he makes it, imagine God saying, wow, that was pretty amazing. Let's see that again. You know, imagine Tim Tebow in Canada or something. He's not in the NFL anymore. But imagine him doing a play, giving glory to God, and God saying, wow, that was pretty amazing. That was pretty amazing. Imagine C.S. Lewis writing the final sentence to the Chronicles of Narnia and God saying, wow, that was pretty special. That was worshipful. And so worship is entirety of our life, of our being. We can worship Him. Although singing is a big part, we can worship Him just the way He created us to be. The bee worships God when it flies. The tree worships God just by its wing. And human beings worship Him by living life to the fullest. And God is still searching for people in every walk and sphere to worship Him and to show His glory. Wherever you're placed. And you may be placed in a worldly view, in a worldly perspective, in an insignificant position. Whether you're a janitor or something else. You know, if from the world's perspective, it is insignificant. You know, I know we have a lot of retired folks here. And so, and from a world's perspective, retired old people are not highly elevated. Let me just tell you, in the Hebrew scripture, in the Old Testament, they were. Today, the youth is celebrated, right? And, you know, we should celebrate youth, but in the Old Testament, old people were really honored. And we need to capture that in the church again. Anyway, are you worthy? Who is worthy? And God is looking for those who are worthy. Revelation 5:5 it says, let's look at how Jesus was worthy. In Revelation 5:5 it says, behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. I say Jesus is the worthy one because He has overcome every trial and temptation and paid the price. Jesus was tempted by Satan himself for money, power, fame. Satan himself offered those things, and throughout his life, it was offered to him through people. But Jesus was able to overcome because he was simply obedient to God and to what he was called to. Amen. Simply obedient. He says, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only speak what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only speak what I hear the Father say. Mm-hmm. Now, as people of faith, we have a great privilege to hear and see what the Father is doing. Now, it's not going to be super crazy, supernatural at times. It could be simply as obeying what you read that morning, or what you heard the pastor say, or what you know is right. And I just want to challenge you, what areas in your life is God teaching you how to overcome? What? And so the question is, what area in your life are you being tried and tempted and asked to pay a price? These days, and it's increasingly, I think, getting worse, it's so easy to just give up. Right? You have a hard time at work? Hey, I'll just get another job. You don't like someone at church? Hey, I'll just go to another church. And it's because options are just limitless now. There are just so many options here in America, especially here in America. There are just so many options. And so when something hard happens, it's just so easy to say, I'm just going to give up. But where is God teaching you how to overcome? And let me tell you, if you give up, every moment you have a chance to give up, your life will not be one that is considered as an overcomer. But if you face some of the fiercest trials in your life and you pay the price, and although nobody may notice it and it may go unrecognized, God will see you as an overcomer. God will see you as deserving. God will see you as worthy. So let me ask you this. What areas are the hardest in your life that you feel like giving up in? I want to encourage you. If the Lord called you there, or if you made a commitment to be there, gut it out. Ask Jesus for strength. Ask Him to provide.
Amen.
Because we all need help. And Jesus is our greatest help. Ask Him for courage. Some of us, we need courage. Some of us, we simply need boldness. Some of us, we simply need resources. Some of us, we need patience. Some of us, we need wisdom. Some of us, we just need to ask, and you shall receive. So ask. Wherever you are struggling, Jesus overcame by paying the price. And we'll look at that a little deeper in Revelation chapter 9. It says, and they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and break its seal, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. Jesus spent His life in such a way that every blood that was shed echoes throughout eternity. And when His blood was shed, He said something remarkable, did He not? Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Amen. That's why He's worthy. Not only did He shed His blood, but as His blood was being spilled, He was still loving His neighbors. In fact, He was loving His enemies. And also loving God with all of His heart, mind, strength, and soul. And because He overcame, and because of what He did, it's, you know, even in heaven, His life continues to inspire new songs. Literally new songs, but figuratively as well. And His, you know, if you're a singer, you probably start singing when God touches you. But His life of sacrifice, His life of suffering was the reason why He was worthy. sacrifice, suffering, and gutting it out, I guess. But he is also worthy, and I'll end with this. It says in verse 10, "You have made them to be a kingdom and a priest to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Amen. We will reign upon the earth. If you did not know, you will reign upon the earth if you follow the Lord. And it will be a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. And in some ways, you will begin to reign even now. And it will come to completion when God returns. It says, you have made them to be a kingdom and a priest. Guess what? Did you know that I am a priest? Duh. Even though I'm not Catholic. Guess what? Did you know that you are a priest? Male or female? Both of you. All of you are priests if you are in Christ. I'm going to do something interactive. Stick with me. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are a priest."
You are a priest.
All right, thank you for the three people that did it. Amen. Thank you. You are a priest. It's a good reminder. You are a priest. So guess what? When you go to your work, or when you go to your meeting, or when you visit with your friends, just because you're not in church, you are still a priest. Because Jesus made you a priest. It says, you have made them to be a kingdom. You are also royalty, kingdom, and priest to our God. So not only are you a priest of JCCT, you are a priest of the kingdom of God. Amen. Which is a lot greater. You are a priest of the kingdom of God wherever you go. Wherever you go. And that's what he did for us. He is worthy because he paid the price. He every trial, temptation, he was able to overcome. And he transformed our life. And he gave us a new identity. And I want you to go out into this world. Not just when you come into church, but as you go out, you are the church. And you are the priest. And you have all been called to be overcomers. To overcome. To bring His kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Let's pray. Jesus, you know, a lot of times I just want to repent, Lord, and say, forgive me for just not seeing you as worthy as you really are. Deserving of our time, deserving of our devotion, deserving of our affections, deserving of all that we are. You are truly worthy, Lord Jesus. And we thank you so much that you have invited us to have a relationship with you, Lord. You have invited us to be your friends. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. And we lift your name up in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.